Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 15th, 2014.
I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we sing a few songs tonight and just to focus our attention on the Lord's table and what He has done for us. Grace greater than our sin.
Grace. Have asked Suhan to share a little bit about the things that the Lord's been doing in her life, and she's been with us, I guess, about a year, and is fixing to go back for your fifth term or sixth term?
Eighth.
Wow. So you went to Japan in
1979.
Okay, so she's you probably speak the language, don't you? Okay, go ahead.
Good evening. Tonight I just want to thank you for being my home church family. It's a blessing to have a home church family like you. I just want to thank you for all your prayers for me and financial support. You've raised that support since I came home this time, and I really do appreciate that. I thank you for the privilege of serving with you. It's been a blessing this year to work in ESL and just see the people that God has put in our backyard to reach. And I hope that we're all taking that seriously, especially the Muslims. God has put them here, and we have an opportunity to reach out to them in love. And that's something that they don't see in their own culture. And I'm thankful for the ministry that we have here. Before I came home this time, I got the CDs from you. And I've been looking forward to Angola for about 3 years. And this year, I just kept telling people, I'm going to prison. And I told my friend, I went down to visit her in April, and I said, guess what, Vicki? She's my friend from Tennessee Temple. I said, I'm going to prison next month. And she said, what? And that was a really special blessing to get to go to Angola, and also to get to go with 19 others of you and just get to know you better and serve with you. And I just really believe that God unites us when we serve together, and I'm just really thankful for that. Just to give you a little update, I've traveled about 30,000 miles this year in my car, and I'm very thankful for God's protection. I've visited about 25 supporting churches and several individual supporters, too. I'm going to be leaving Chattanooga at the end of this month. I've got about 2 weeks left here. I'll be leaving on June 30th, and then I'll be flying back to Japan from L.A. to Tokyo on July 17th. I'll be seeing some babies along the way, some new great-nephews, a couple that I haven't seen yet. And I'll arrive in Kumamoto, where I'm serving now, on July the 19th. Again, I'll be helping with a church plant in Kumamoto, and I work with the Smith family. Tonight, I'd just like to share with you kind of in depth about some of my prayer needs, especially one in particular. As far as my support, I'm down to $225 a month that I lack. So I'm thankful for the money that God has supported. I think I needed at least $500 when I came home, so I'm very thankful for the way that God has supplied through you and others. My packing is a challenge right now. I have a herniated disc. It's not painful, but it's uncomfortable. And if I sit on the floor too long, it lets me know. So packing has been a different experience this time. And so I wish that you would pray about that. I have 7 boxes packed, and I still have some to go, and still got to carry them to the car, to the post office, and mail them. And I wish that you would just pray about that, because this back thing is just a part of being 63. I am getting ready to go into my last term, and, you know, this, of course, I'm going to have packing at the end in a big way, but at least for right now, that's the challenge. Just pray as I go back that God will give us fruitful contacts. I'm just looking forward to see what God will do this next term. I may have mentioned to you about June Cotaneda. She is the friend of one of our pastor's wives out there. And Junko came to me, and we had a Bible study a couple times. She disappeared, and then I think I probably told you she came to my apartment one night, and she was living with her son. There was a problem. And so before I left Japan, I helped her to get established in a church in an area where she moved. So I've been keeping in touch. She texts me from her phone to my computer, and so that keeps me up with my Japanese writing. I don't write it. I just have to read it, which is quite a challenge. And then I've been Skyping with my other friend, Etsumi, like every other week. So that keeps me up with my spoken Japanese. And she praises me every now and then, like, oh, you're speaking good Japanese. And so anyway, but I wanted to tell you with Junko, as she's texted me, like Will Graham went to Fukuoka. You know, Will Graham is Billy Graham's grandson. He went to Fukuoka for an evangelistic campaign, and she went to that and told me that it was really good. And then she told me that she took a friend to church, and I thought, you know, it looks like there's some change here. Well, a few weeks ago, she told me that she's definitely trusting Christ as Savior. And I'm just very thankful. I just want you to look at how difficult it is in Japan. She has had a best friend, our pastor's wife, since high school. And now she's 60 years old and has just recently believed in Jesus. So one of my biggest things I'm looking forward to now is she says, I'm going to get baptized in August. So it's after I get back and I'll be able to go. So that'll be a very, very special entrance back into Japan, is get to go to her baptism. Pray for laborers. I'm the only one of our missionaries working with the Smiths. We need laborers to work with them. It can get pretty lonely working in a city when you're the only one. The last year I was in Japan before I came home on furlough was pretty lonely. And I just didn't see missionaries a lot, and they need laborers. There's so many people. There's in the Kumamoto area, there's about 1 million people. It's the Kumamoto city is the capital of our prefecture, and we live right outside the city limits of it. And so there's so many people that need to be reached. And so please pray for laborers. I ask you to pray for my family. My sister and my brother are away from the Lord, and my greatest desire upon retirement is having more time to put into my family. As long as I've been a Christian, I've always looked at my family and wanted to see them come to know the Lord. And I've also told people that if people got saved, you know, by genealogy, I never would have gotten saved. There aren't that many Christians in my background. So I'm very thankful for God saving me, but I also want to see my family in heaven. And just pray that my brother and sister especially will come back to him. I want to share a big prayer request with you because I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I want you to know the background. And if you have any questions to ask me, you know, I want you to feel free to do that because you're my home church. I go to the Obeyama Bible Church on Sunday morning. The Obeyama Bible Church was started about 40 years ago by Brother Oxley. He's now with the Lord. And I attend this church on Sunday mornings. We don't have a Sunday morning service, and I wanted to go to church on Sunday morning, so I started looking around for a church, and They had an interim pastor at that time, and I knew him from the time, you know, I've known him for maybe 20, 30 years. And so I started going to that church, and those people became my network of Christian friends, the Japanese people there. They didn't have a regular pastor. The interim pastor lived out of the city. And so I just, you know, was with them, encouraged them. I remember at one time they said, you know, should we build a building first or should we, you know, look for a pastor? And I said, you better look for a pastor because if you build a building first, the church probably splits. So it's pretty straight with them. But God did provide a pastor. I'm not a member there, but I've done things like teaching English. I taught English there for a year, and I told them, I said, I will teach English as an evangelistic outreach, but, you know, if it ever gets so it's not an evangelistic outreach and it's just for you, I mean, I'm not going to continue, and I didn't. I did it for 1 year. Then I had a Bible study for the ladies, basically using Navigator's books and, you know, just teaching them basic Bible doctrine, and, you know, different ones would come to me and say, I didn't know these things before. It was really basic. So I've tried to, you know, have positive input into the church there in Obeyama. This church has been so good to me. When my family came to visit, there was a man in the church who was dying of, I think it was stomach cancer, and he provided Japanese calligraphy prints of, I think it was Isaiah 40:31. Anyway, the verse that talks about rising up on wings of eagles. The word eagle was in large Japanese characters, and he gave one of those to every one of my siblings, and that was very, very special. A picture about this big, you know, to hang on their walls, and I just thought, wow. And the man died even before my family came, but he provided those, and that was very special. The necklace I'm wearing tonight is actually something that the ladies bought me before I left, and they've just been very good to me. I've tried to help them with outreaches and things and just be there and encourage them. So for about 2 or 3 years, they didn't have a pastor. And right before I left, about a year before I left, Pastor Kumagami came to serve there. And he's a good preacher. I mean, I listen to his sermons and, you know, they're very good. But one Sunday morning, he stood up in the pulpit and said, he had gone to a meeting of Lutherans there in the city, and that he had met with them, and he says, I want to cooperate with the Lutherans. Nobody in the church picked up on that except me, I'm pretty sure. I went to my computer and started looking up. It's the Japan Evangelical Lutheran Church. Kumamoto is the center of Japanese Lutheranism. Where I work, the city is the center of Japanese Lutheranism. This is what it said in Wikipedia. On the internet. It has associations with the World Council of Churches. They started a Lutheran theological seminary there that was established in Kumamoto to train workers, but it later moved. Now they have a high school, a junior and senior high school, and they have Kyushu Lutheran College. So this is, you know, the Lutherans. Well, I was very concerned about their connections because it's a liberal kind. I know that there are saved Lutherans, but this is a liberal group. And like I said, it's Japan Evangelical Lutheran Church. If you'll look, I believe that that church recognizes gay pastors. So anyway, when the pastor said that he was going to cooperate, that just really came to my heart. And these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, they've been my, you know, family in Japan. I was very concerned. So I was back and forth on whether to approach the pastor. One thing, Japan is still pretty much a male culture, and for me to go as a woman to him was a big deal. So I contacted some of my friends, like Lorene Itterman. You know, Lorene has been a really close friend for a long time, and I contacted some of my prayer warriors, and they, you know, Lorene said, well, couldn't a man go? And I said, well, no man heard it. Nobody in that church picked up that there was a problem with that, and that was a real problem to me. That said to me that the church was very weak doctrinally, and I had sensed that before. So then my coworker, Norman Smith, had been on furlough. He came home from he came back to Japan, and he says, I've been thinking about us cooperating with the Obeyama Church. And I said, Norman, I think you need to wait because I have real questions about us cooperating with them because of what the pastor is saying about cooperating with the Lutherans. So after praying about it and getting people to pray, I tell people this is the second hardest thing I've done. I went to confront the pastor. And I tried to be, you know, just nice about, you know, just telling him that this was my concern, you know, that I didn't feel that the Lutheran group was a conservative biblical group. And these are the things that he told me. He said, well, I want to be part of a Christian voice here in Kumamoto. And I told him, I said, you know, I'd rather stand with God and be alone than stand with a group that's not standing biblically. And then he said, well, I want to help bring them back. And I thought about that. You know, I looked at the Southern Baptist Convention. They wandered so far from the Word of God, and they have come back. Praise God. But there was a flame to fan. And I'm not convinced that there are any saved people in this church. I thought, there's no, you know, you have to have a flame to fan in order to bring people back to God. And I just thought, no, I just don't think I can see this in this group. And then right as I go out the door, he turns to me and he says, well, I know, you know, they recognize gay pastors, but I'd never do that. And I thought, you know that, and you would say something like that to me. I thought, a pastor is supposed to protect the church from error. And it just really grieved me. I thought, you know, here he knows that, and he would actually, he told me, he says, I won't promise you that we will not cooperate. I was concerned about him bringing the people into the church. He says, we can, you know, if we have bring people together, then our people can help them to come to know the truth. Well, the people in the church don't even understand about doctrinal error. So I thought, no, that's not going to work. If anything, it's going to sink the church. So anyway, I ended up leaving, and, you know, just he didn't come to Japanese people. Greetings and goodbyes are very important. He didn't come to see me off at the airport, and I really felt that was a statement. And so I'm going back now. Like I said, I'm not a member of the church, but the members there are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love them very much. I'm concerned that they don't go into error. This church, you know, I said, was started by a missionary. And I just heard this week when I was Skyping with my friend at Sumi on Thursday, she told me that Pastor Kumagami is meeting monthly now with the Lutheran group. He also said that there is a lady in the church, she's been had a job where she's just been really overworked. And so my friend at Sumi told me that this lady, he's providing for her to work, get a supervisory job in the dorm. And so on Sundays when she cannot come to our church, she'll be going to the Lutheran service. So, you know, looking at this, I say, well, this is not necessarily anything bad, but I do want to ask her, you know, like, what do you think about the sermons, and just get her, you know, playback on that, because I don't see her as a real strong Christian being able to understand the difference, but she should be able to see differences in the way the sermons, you know, are over there compared to our church. And like I said, Pastor Kumagami is he's a good pastor. I mean, he preaches the word. Well, I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I'm just telling you that the situation of Pastor Kumagami with the Lutherans bothers me. And I'm going to go back and plan to go to that. I attend that church on Sunday mornings, and I also go to their prayer meetings on Wednesday. If I leave the church, it could cause a church split. I have some dear friends there. Etsumi's my birdwatching friend, and I've really been, seeking to be kind of a mentor to her, and another friend, Junko, but I have a lot of friends in that church, and if I left, it could very easily split. But I want you to know, you know, what's going on there, and that God will give me wisdom. As I go back, one of the first things I want to do is talk with our missionaries, especially the men, about the situation so they know and so that I can get some guidance from them. Because I don't want to do anything that would endanger the church, you know, and anything that God would not want for the church. But I do have problems in the pastor leading them towards a group that is not biblical. So I do ask that you will pray for me, that I'll have God's wisdom in what to do, and just that I'll make the right decisions. Pastor Kumagami is about 65. He's in very good health. When I look at this whole thing, Norman asked me, he said, well, why is he so gung-ho on, you know, cooperating with the Lutherans? He has a real respect for Martin Luther, and I do too. But sad to say, a lot of the Lutheran church today is not what Martin Luther was. So I just feel like, you know, it's, you know, there's a problem there. So Please pray with me about that, that I'll make the right decision with the Obeyama Bible Church. And also, I will be praying for you as our church seeks future leadership. May God guide each one of you to unite around God's desire for this church. The reason I came to Grace is because of the missions emphasis. And I just love that you're always, you know, finding ways to reach out with missions. And I'm just thankful for that. And I just pray, you know, that you'll seek, you know, that you will unite around God's desires in His Word as to what man would be suitable to lead Grace Baptist Church. Again, thank you for everything.
Thank you, Sue. It's amazing the opportunities that we all have, and the opportunities to stand and to respond and to do right along the way. We're going to take an offering, unless otherwise designated. This offering is going to go to Suhan as she goes back, and we particularly want to pray for her as she's thinking about these decisions and these issues and everything she's facing at this time. And so, Dave, will you pray for the offering and pray for Sue that the Lord will give her wisdom?
Lord, we're thankful tonight that you're in charge here. We thank you that you've promised to give us wisdom in all areas. Father, in church issues like Sue's facing, there are some difficult choices, and Lord, we know that you grant perfect wisdom. And so we're coming to you because our sister's asking wisdom of you and asking us to pray. So we come knowing that you will grant answer and grant grace in her part. But Father, we ask for our Japanese brother that they will be able to discern the truth here, discern the differences, because they are real and they're important. We just pray, Father, for your grace and glory in that. Pray tonight for the offering that we give, that you might use it for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Got a red microphone here for John. Now, you took that and you don't even know why I asked you to take it. John, I need you to do a solo from the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Aaron, I couldn't pass you by. You know, you're up here looking pretty sophisticated, and we got to get away from that, the orange one. And we're interested in some VBS testimonies tonight, and so if you'll work that side and you'll work that side, that'd be good. So what kinds of encouraging things happened in VBS for you?
I'll start. Oh, sorry, Mary. One of my favorite memories of VBS is when we lived in when we first moved to Covington, Kentucky, where my grandparents lived. We lived with them, and we found out shortly after we moved there that for years my grandmother had taken a carload of kids to VBS every summer, and because they were now our neighbors, we got to get in on that. And one of the treats that my grandma would give is if you came every single time, every single day with her, we got to go to McDonald's afterwards on Friday. And I cannot tell you, every one of those kids came every single time. And I still have some friends that were saved through that ministry of my grandmother, who is going to be 91 tomorrow. So I think that's pretty awesome testimony. And the other thing is, because of my grandmother, I have an aunt who did not follow the Lord in her adult life, and she has five children who had a very confused childhood and did not take them to church and would speak pretty much anything against church because she had bitterness in her own heart from it. But my grandmother did take the kids to church, and my cousin Erica was one of those kids that came along when she would take them to VBS and would get to go to McDonald's on Friday if she went every day, and she did get saved at VBS, and the other kids also did get saved. But why it's so especially special for her is that she lost her life when she was 16 years old, but she's with the Lord, and that is because of VBS.
Back here.
Okay, my father was a pastor, so of course I went to VBS every summer. But I don't know if any of you can remember, but if you went to VBS a long time ago, we used to make these pictures out of beans. Does anyone remember making pictures out of beans? You would put all the beans inside, you know, and make some kind of picture. Now, I mean, why that stood out to me, but it was so fun. We created something we could take home, and, you know, we love that. A more spiritual part, I still remember back, I think it was in the fifth grade, which is a long time ago for me, but we studied the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, and we always memorized scripture at VBS, and that was a big part of it. We also had it during the daytime. Most women were not working at the time, so you'd have 1 or 2 weeks of VBS. And you'd come during the day, and, you know, again, for children during the summer, that was very special. But a memory from this VBS, I still have the picture. In fact, Elizabeth, your daughter, was in the picture, as well as a lot of children from here. But Marilee, I can still see her. She was wearing a little green, cute dress, and they were just very young. Someone had a little lamb, a little, what would you call it, a puppet lamb, and Marilee was leaning down talking to the lamb during the closing presentation. But the reason why that is special to me is because that's the last time my parents were here. And Mother's with the Lord this year, as you know. But she just loved seeing Marilee sing and learn more about the Lord in VBS. It was very special.
Okay.
Yes, in those days, VBS was 2 weeks long. And 2 weeks ago, going through the attic, pulling things out for a yard sale we had, I found the Bible that I was given in 1958. It was my first Bible, and it was my only Bible until I went to Bible college in 1970. And there was so much of the Word of God given, like in our VBS here. In fact, this reminds me a whole lot, except we didn't have quite all the props. And as a young boy, I never could figure out why we would make a picture out of something you could eat.
Good point. Okay. Grant?
Well, years and years ago, I was in charge of the educational program in our church, which included VBS. And we went from 2 weeks to 1 week, but the ladies of the church were not very happy because they said that us guys planned 3-hour morning VBSs all week while we were at work, and they had to do all the work, and they sort of went on strike. So I said, okay, we will modify things, and we'll have an evening VBS. And we had, for the teens, we had in a special speaker, and we had adult VBS. Well, my mother was in her 80s at the time and came, and at the end of the VBS, we gave everybody got a certificate, including all of the seniors who were there. And I think my mother was as proud of that certificate as anything. She said, they didn't have VBS when I was a girl, and I finally get a VBS certificate like all you boys have gotten.
Okay, Gypsy, I saw your hand.
We glued elbow macaroni onto Coke bottles and sprayed it gold. I don't know if any of y'all ever did that, but that was quite popular in the 60s. But we did have those, like Mary said, it was in the daytime that we had Bible school, and it was usually 9 to 12. And one of the things that was really special about the Bible school at my church, when the pastor came that we had at that time, he came when I was about 8 years old, and he would direct the VBS, and he had a lot of great ideas. And one of the real special things was an award board that would be at the end of the week when we would have our commencement. And, of course, they kept up with our points all during the week, you know, usual attendance and bringing visitors and things like that. But they would give us a list of scriptures to memorize, and it would be long passages of scripture, and some wouldn't be quite as long. But whoever had the most points, you know, they would go in order at the commencement night, and you would go by the award board and, you know, choose you. And there would be things like a week paid to camp and a Bible and, you know, some really nice things. But some of the passages of scripture, I still remember the armor of God, that was one. John 3:1-18, memorize that. Psalm 121, and it's just really neat to, you know, when I read those, to think back on memorizing those during the Bible school days.
Wow. Okay.
Well, if it weren't for VBS, I wouldn't know the words to Onward Christian Soldiers. And also, growing up in Cincinnati, there's a very heavy Catholic presence, but my Catholic neighbor would always come to VBS with me. And I think as a result of that, she did make a profession of faith.
Okay. Anyone else? Is that you waving
your hand? Yeah, that's me waving my hand and the sound guy can't see who it is, so anyways. Well, I wanted to talk about Holiday Club. Does anyone know what Holiday Club is? It's VBS on the other side of the pond. And I've been blessed to be a part of at least 2 or 3 Holiday Clubs, I guess. 2 in England and 1 in Ireland. And those were missions trips that we took. And I just wanted to share a few stories of how God worked in those vacation Bible schools or holiday clubs. And, you know, that was a part of our ministry as this church. There was in England, the first time that I went, it was in the summer, and there was a girl named Elise, and she came, and Elise thought that was funny. Our Elise thought that was funny. And so the British Elise, she indicated that she wanted to become a Christian. And so the people at Operation Mobilization, they talked to her, and she said she had never sinned before. And so the Operation Mobilization woman let her go. And at first thought, you're thinking, what, they let her go? You mean you didn't press harder? Okay. And so the next day she came back, and the operation mobilization woman, I can't remember her name, she said, I want you to think about it and tell me what you've come up with, you know, the next day you come back. Elise comes back and she says, you know what? I realize I've sinned and I want to accept Jesus into my life. And so I thought that was a really cool story, you know, to allow the Spirit to work, to trust with what God's doing. You know, don't bring somebody to where they're not, you know, ready yet. You know, give room for God to work and pray for that person. And then another time was in Ireland, and this was nuts because we had no idea what we were getting into. And we ended up, me and Alex Carter and Mrs. Mowry, we ended up going off to this camp in the middle of nowhere, and we slept in tents for a week. And these kids are running around, and they threw stuff in the fire, and you're just like, oh my goodness, this is nuts. And we had this whole thing during the week where we let kids ask any questions they wanted to about God, and we just tried our best to answer those and take it from a very biblical perspective and say, no, this is what the Bible says about this. And there were 7 kids that day that indicated that they wanted to make a profession of faith. And there was one kid in particular that was disobeying us one night. And I think he wanted to be the first to the fish and chip shop. And so he was going ahead of us, and we're like, nah, come back here. And he would come back, then he'd keep going. And then, he made the profession of faith, and we would tell him, no, you know, this is, you need to obey. And he obeyed, and we saw a change in him. So it was really cool to see God working in those VBS holiday clubs overseas, and I was very blessed to be a part of that. And those are a result of your support and your giving to some of the short-term missions trips that the college group has taken. So just some exciting things there.
I remember a few years ago, we went to England and we're talking to Jim and Carol West and the Manns about the ministry that they had. And one of the biggest ministries they had was the Holiday Club. It seemed like it met after Christmas sometime. And a lot of folks came to know the Lord. And it was really the core of the opportunity that they had at that chapel there in Tyndall. And so we're excited about that. Anyone else? Okay, Jane.
Well, I was one of those neighborhood kids that was invited to go to Bible school. my only other introduction to the gospel was through a Good News Club in my neighborhood. And I was 14 whenever someone invited me. I waited until the last minute. It was 2 weeks long, and it was at night. And I waited until the last minute to let these people know that I was actually interested. And when I first walked in, the teacher that I was going to have for that 2 weeks, I recognized her from public school. She was a substitute teacher, and I took one look at her, and she took one look at me, and I think both of us about died, because she was the type of teacher that we couldn't get away with anything. You know, when substitutes come in, you usually, you know, can take off with everything. But anyway, so I made it through that 2 weeks, and I knew what the gospel was, and I remember at the end, she had asked for testimonies for kids to tell when they were saved. And I was the only one in that group that had not given a testimony, because I knew that I wasn't saved. And I was then invited to begin attending church after that Bible school, in which I did. And she was the youth leader. And so she actually became my best friend. And it was 2 months after that I received Christ as my Savior. And it's just amazing to me to see what God has done in my life through people who reached out and cared for a neighborhood kid.
Well, Lord's table. And as we think of this, his table, if you know the Lord, we encourage you to participate with us in this, his table. And of course, there's two elements. You've got the bread, who he is. He's God, very God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got the juice, the wine, and what he did. He shed his blood on the cross for us. So I encourage you to participate. It's also a time of self-examination. So it's a time to think very specifically about where you're at spiritually and what you're doing. And so we begin, and we deal first of all with the bread. And so Jason Smith, will you pray for the bread, please?
Sure, Father, Lord, we thank you for coming back tonight, Lord. We pray for VBS and VBS tomorrow. Thank you, Father, Lord, for coming to the Lord and your gifts. Thank you for coming on the cross, Lord, and giving your life for us. Pray that you will bless the hearing. Amen.
Received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The Bible says, after the same manner also he took the cup. Dale, would you pray for the cup, please?
Thank you.
the same manner also we took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Our custom is to take a offering, a benevolence offering at this time, so we encourage you to give and to give generously towards this. We help a lot of people. Occasionally we have people, I think a week ago we had two different benevolence needs of folks that had special needs, emergencies. Both of them, as it turned about, were people away from this area and everything. And we help people within the church. Don't say as much about that and everything, but when somebody has needs and there's areas where we can help, we want to be involved. And so we've done quite a bit of that through the years. And so encourage you to give towards this. Father, for this offering, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time, and that is our prayer walkthrough. So let me give you a little bit of instruction. You're going to start in here to keep it a little easy, and our children are going to be sitting in these two center sections. So before you even get up, you can just pray for the children that are going to be sitting, where you are. And then up here on the stand, there's a list of things that you can pray for. I'm going to be emotional. I think it's the exhaustion. praying for all kinds of things like the sound and the lighting and the cast to remember their lines. They have worked so hard, and it is going to be phenomenal. In fact, if you can get here any night this week just to watch them, I would come and sit in the balcony because you're going to be in for a great surprise. But you can pray for some things in here. Then out in our lobby area, there are three different stands. One has things about registration, that it'll go smoothly and the lines won't get long. And then we have one for our safety concerns. We've got a safety team that's going to be patrolling the campus while the kids are here, so you can just pray that we don't have any issues like that. And then there's one that's going to be kind of in this direction because our adult Bible study is going to be up the hallway from there in the church conference room, and you can pray for the adults that are coming. We do have some adults that are coming that are not believers, so pray that their eyes will be opened and that they will come to know the Lord. Then you can move your way down the hallways. And last year I did a really pretty map for you, and I totally forgot to do that this year. So you're just going to, if there's a door open and the light is on, then you need to pray in that room. And mostly the list of things to pray for is right by the door or right on the door, but you can move in and you can pray for things that come to mind. The stories are going to happen back there, the snacks, the crafts. The games are going to happen outside, so there is a list on the door out the cafeteria hallway. If you want to pray for some of the things outside, you can even walk outside and pray outside if you want to. And then just you can make your way to the cafeteria, and there are it's divided right now because that's how it's going to be tomorrow night. We have the older kids eating snack on one side and the younger kids eating snack on the other. So there is a list on both sides, and you can pray in there, and then you can go through the hallway there and get your international snacks that I know you all remember to bring, and just enjoy some fellowship, and I think that's it. I'm going to go ahead and go out. You guys can stay here and take your time praying. You're welcome to walk up here and check the doors. They do work, but if your children come up here, you need to be with them.
Okay, let's do it.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.